Let me read to you from John chapter 15, beginning in verse 26. I'm going to cross right through the chapter break into chapter 16, verse 4. And read this together. Our Lord Jesus spoke these words. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also then will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all of these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think it is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I do not say these things to you from the beginning, because then I was with you. Father, we pray that you will encourage us today from these words meant to encourage the disciples of Christ thousands of years ago. Father, we pray that we would see the same hope for them as the same hope for us. And while we may face differing threats than they faced, essentially it is the same threat. Because this world does not know you. This world does not know our Lord Jesus Christ. But you have promised that you will be with us always. Strengthen us, we pray, through your word. Amen. In this passage, we're going to continue our study of the words of Christ when he spoke of the essential need for he himself to be taken away. And they didn't understand that. We do know what that means. We have the scriptures before us that explain he meant that he would be betrayed, that he would be taken, that he would be judged, that he would be put to death upon a cross, that he would be buried. That's what he meant when he said he would be taken away. We know that he was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. We know that he presented himself alive, that he showed them that he had been risen from the dead, and yet he still had to go away. And we know and we understand from the scriptures that he had to be taken up into heaven, that he must ascend so that he would be placed at the right hand of his Father and seated upon the throne, that he would be the Lord of every Lord, the King above every King, and that he would be ruling and reigning until every enemy be made a footstool for his feet. He had to go away. And that he, once ascended into heaven, would, by his Father's will and his Father's time, pour forth the promised Holy Spirit upon his people, that they would have the power that he spoke of, that they would have the comforter that he spoke of, the Holy Spirit. And so these words that we've studied in John chapter 7, when Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And John chapter 7, verse 39 said, "But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit." The Spirit had not been given yet because Jesus had not been glorified. We looked at that about a month or so ago. And then we saw in John chapter 14, Jesus say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, namely the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You will know him, for he will dwell with you and be in you. So our Lord talked about the connection between the sending forth of the Holy Spirit and our ability to follow his commandments, to obey him. And those commandments are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your strength and all of your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself more fully and completely. As our Lord said, you must love one another as I have loved you. We can only do that how? Through the Holy Spirit at work within us. And then last week we saw, if you love me, I'm sorry, John chapter 14, 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But, our Lord says, the Helper, namely the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. We see the connection between not only the Holy Spirit and our ability to obey our Lord and to love one another as he loved us, but we saw the connection between the Holy Spirit and a peace that is not like this world offers, but is divine, beautiful peace. Today we see in the passage that I read from John 15 that when the Holy Spirit comes, the Helper comes, he will bear witness about me, our Lord says, and you also will bear witness. So today I want us to continue to examine this and see how the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to love one another, the Holy Spirit gives us peace, and the Holy Spirit gives us strength to bear witness of our Savior in this world. When the Helper comes, he will bear witness about me. John 15, 26 and 27. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Our Lord says he will go away, but he will send forth. At the time, we know this at Pentecost, and we're going to turn to Acts chapter 2 later this morning. We know that he said the Holy Spirit will be poured out. And again, as I've mentioned, the Holy Spirit helps us to love one another. And I love the way the ESV here translates, the Helper comes. Other translations may translate it slightly differently, but there's this idea as the Holy Spirit is the one whom will come alongside us. Now, our Lord references in chapter 6, verse 4, that he didn't say some of these things to his disciples in the beginning because he was with them. He was alongside them. He was walking with them. The way that the Holy Spirit is referred to here as the Paraclete, the Helper, the Comforter, the one who brings this peace, the one who bear witness of the Lord Jesus in our lives, shows us that the Holy Spirit is alongside us. And this word helper here isn't just point you in the right direction from time to time. It's not just a cheat code to help us get through life when it gets tough. The Holy Spirit is alongside us, is with us, dwells among us and in us, so that we are not alone in this world. We are not alone and need times of prayer to say, Lord, I'm alone and I need you now. He has sent his Holy Spirit to be our helper, to be the one alongside us forever, the passage said. Dear friends, dear believers, the Holy Spirit is with you. You don't have to worry about times that the Holy Spirit will be away from you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will do this. He will bear witness about me. Do you ever struggle with being distracted? I do too. Some of us may struggle more than others, but I don't think any of us here would say, no, I'm good. I am on point always, and especially spiritual things. Got this down. Never get distracted by anything. We all get distracted, don't we? The Holy Spirit, this is going to sound so theologically simple that it may not seem like meaningful. The Holy Spirit does not get distracted. He does not struggle as we do. His purpose that he works within this world is central upon one thing specified in this text. Bearing witness of Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit, we've already seen, gives us strength to obey our Lord and to love one another. The Holy Spirit, according to 1 John, teaches us to love God. We're taught of love by God himself through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. Absolutely. But always, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness that Jesus is Lord. That's why you are to love, by the way. Whenever you are understanding the Spirit's work in our lives to help us to love one another, so much so that we don't even need to teach one another about this love, God himself has taught us this love, and we've seen that this love is expressed clearly through Jesus saying, love one another as I have loved you. And we see in that the gospel. We see in that the sacrificial love of Jesus to give up his life that we may be saved from our sins. Jesus loves us. We learn from that love. The Holy Spirit is teaching us. That is pointing us and bearing witness of who? Christ. There is no point in which love is done apart from Christ. You cannot understand the love that you need to have, husbands and wives, wives to their husbands, parents to their children, brothers and sisters together, and brothers and sisters in the Lord. We do not understand love. There is not love apart from Christ Jesus. So every time in which we see the Spirit's work within us, his power working within us to love one another, that is bearing witness of Jesus. And give Jesus glory for it. When the Holy Spirit gives to us peace, guess what that's bearing witness of? Jesus. There is no other peace. That's why it is a peace that's not as of this world that gives peace. It's the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up his life so that our sins against him, our sins against his name, our selfishness, our pride, our arrogance, our greed, our lust, our hatred, all of those things, Jesus has atoned for the sins of every believer so that we may still, as wretched as we may be, are cleansed by his blood, and we can still come to him at any moment in our lives because he has established peace with us. And that's a sort of peace that now extends between us, husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of his peace, the Holy Spirit who produces peace within us, ultimately the peace that is between us and God, bears witness of Jesus, because without him there is no peace. The gospel is the good news about the work of Jesus, by which men that have been enslaved by sin are made free and given eternal life, and then we are reconciled with God by faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel is the proclamation of the historical work of God through Jesus. But this good news has not gone forth nor survived these 2,000 plus years by the record-keeping efforts of man. Men alone of our strength are unable to bear witness of Jesus. We are not here today, 2,000 years later, because of, wow, look at the way it was preserved for us by the work of men, and we read it, and we're taking it forth from here. That's all a part of who we are, but it's because the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus. We're here by the work of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is still going forth by the work of the Holy Spirit. These words recorded for us were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The gospel survived the opposition set to erase it by both the Jews and the Romans in the first century because God sent forth the Holy Spirit to bear witness about Jesus. The book of Acts, you've heard it before, and we've said it here before too, is not the Acts of the Holy Apostles. It is the recording of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The way the gospel was first proclaimed in Acts chapter 2 is because the Holy Spirit was poured out. The preservation of the saints escaping the hands of those trying to put them to death are recorded in the book of Acts as the act of who? The Holy Spirit and His work to move them on when they needed to be moved on. And let's think about that dispersion there, because we all talk about, oh, the dispersion got the gospel to go further out into the world. Wow, that's kind of neat, isn't it? Quinky dink, right? It's the work of the Holy Spirit guiding the gospel going forward. The gospel has survived the test of time because God sent forth the Holy Spirit to bear witness about Jesus. And, dear friends, the gospel will continue to go forth as the God of peace crushes Satan under our feet because God sent forth the Holy Spirit to do what? Bear witness of Jesus. You've seen the Spirit's work. Yeah, I've seen. It's a true point, Pastor. You've seen this work of the Holy Spirit. That should bring joy to your heart. God did not create all of the universe. He did not create every environmental resource that we have so that we could see our bank accounts go up. And be like, ah. It's the work of God. God sent forth His Spirit into this world to bear witness of Jesus. And dear friends, if you have been born again by that gospel of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has borne witness of Him to you. God has revealed His Son to you through the Holy Spirit. That's special. That is gracious. That is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. The Holy Spirit, He will bear witness about Jesus. Now look there in verse 27. Here's the word and. And this is truly what we think of and as a conjunction. The Holy Spirit will bear witness about Jesus. And you also will bear witness. When? When the Holy Spirit, the Helper comes. You will bear witness. There is a connection between our bearing witness and the Spirit's bearing witness. It's both when the Spirit is poured out from on high. One of the ways that the apostles showed this is through the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 15. We'll get there not too long on Wednesday nights. Let's peek forward a little bit here. Listen to these words that the Apostle Paul speaks. And again, think for a moment of your own heart and your own life. Think about the reason that Heritage is here and we're part of this church together. And just listen to these words and let it be a challenge for each of us. Paul says this, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." That's a great thing to set your heart upon, set your mind. "I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has done through me." Paul says to bring about the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. And look at verse 19. "By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God." Now, this isn't a sermon to talk about, have these things ceased? Have they not ceased? But the apostles clearly show forth the work of the Spirit. It was part of what identified them as apostles, that they went forth performing miracles of signs and wonders. Like who? Jesus, who had performed such signs. And he, Paul, attributes this to be the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, wherever that is, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 1, you know, starts off talking about all of the different ways that God has revealed himself throughout history and now how he has revealed himself. And he has revealed Jesus Christ as his son. And in chapter 2 of Hebrews, listen to what he says. "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord." Did it stop there? "And it was attested to us by those who heard." Verse 4, "While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of," what? "The Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." I want us to look at these passages because I want us to understand clearly that when Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit is going to bear witness about me," the Holy Spirit worked through the apostles. The Holy Spirit worked through them to show that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. God was bearing witness of his Son, the Holy Spirit attesting, "Jesus is the risen Lord. He is the one who has procured our salvation. He is the one through his name, all who repent and believe and trust by faith are saved from their sins." The Holy Spirit has borne witness of Jesus, our Lord. When the Holy Spirit comes, when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, he will bear witness about me. But then back in John chapter 15, in verse 26, "You also will bear witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness from God Himself. Jesus is the risen Lord. Guess what our job is? To bear witness that Jesus is Lord. In John 16, a similar statement is made beginning in verse 12. Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." Think about our Lord walking alongside these people saying, "You can't bear this now. You can't receive it. You can't understand it. You can't take it. You can't process it. You can't do things with it. But when the Holy Spirit has been poured out." You see this in the book of Acts. Turn there. Let's look through a couple of passages in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, to start. So you know this context well. The Holy Spirit has done this. And in verse 14 it says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed those people who were mocking what had happened, who were still of this world, who did not have the Spirit indwelling them. But all of a sudden, Peter and the disciples and those who believed, Peter says this, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be made known to you. Give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you have said they are, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Look down later into verse 32. I could read all of this, but just verse 32. Notice how as the Spirit is poured out, they bear witness of Jesus. Peter says in verse 32, "This Jesus God raised up. And of that we are all," what? Witnesses. They're bearing witness of Jesus. Just like our Lord said they would do when the Spirit is poured out. "This Jesus God raised up. And of that we are all witnesses." Verse 33. "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God." Now, they saw Jesus. They saw Him crucified. They saw Him raised from the dead. They saw Him present Himself to them alive with many convincing proofs. And they saw Him taken up, right? Notice what else Peter, by the work of the Holy Spirit, is immediately testifying to. Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of God. How did he know that except by the Holy Spirit? Right. And dear friends, we know that too and bear witness of it. This Jesus has been exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Verse 36, here is the testimony. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," Jesus, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Oh, dear friends, there's application here for us. We need to bear witness of our Lord, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, now. We must do this. We need to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in the kingdom. As Baptists, we're often not good at this. We need to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in His kingdom. This will prevent us from fearing the world. See the connection between those two things? If you understand the Holy Spirit has been poured out to bear witness, then the Holy Spirit's work within us is the work of God. Let me ask you a question. Who is going to overcome God? The Lord in heaven laughs. He knows. He knows the opposition of this world, and it does nothing to His power and His ability to bring forth His plan perfectly. He has installed His Son upon the throne. Who will dethrone His Son? And He has done exactly what He said He would do. In pouring out His Spirit upon us. You're part of this plan. As the Holy Spirit has borne witness of Christ, you will bear witness of Jesus. We need to pray for the work of the Spirit in our evangelistic lives. In Philippians chapter 1, when Paul is facing persecution, he says this, I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that my circumstances will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation, my hope that I will not be at all ashamed. Dear friends, you are to have that same hope for the same purpose, by the same reasoning. There is nothing in which you will be ashamed. In the light of God's kingdom. Now, Paul is saying that as he is being mocked and scorned and imprisoned and about to be put to death for preaching the gospel. That's worldly shame. And Jesus, our Lord, faced that, didn't he? This is a silly question, but sometimes we need silly questions. How'd that work out? Perfectly. According to God's plan. All right. His people, whom he poured out upon the Holy Spirit, immediately started proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. What happened to them? They were met, mocked, scorned, and threatened to stop. How did that work out? We see the very recorded plots of man to cease anyone from speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did that work out? We ourselves are facing the scorn of this world. Sometimes it's scorn for stands that we make. Sometimes those stands are based upon convictions that are firm convictions and true. And stand firm, I tell you. But never get confused. The stands upon the convictions of what is just and right. And standing firm in the conviction of proclaiming to others, Jesus is the risen Lord. Jesus rules and reigns. And when you face opposition, I'm going to ask you another question. How do you think it's going to work out? Paul said, I am convinced I'm going to be delivered. Now he said, I'm not sure if that deliverance is going to be that they're going to release me and I go out, or they're going to put me to death, which is what? Far better. Why? Because Jesus is risen from the dead and has power over death and I will be with him. And on the last day, my body too raised up to be forever with the Lord. How can we be defeated? This is why Paul can say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or man's wisdom. Guess what? It's not by your power, your wisdom, and your debating skills. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come to you proclaiming the testimony of God, testifying of God, with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but were what? In demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our Lord says, when the Holy Spirit, the Helper, comes, he will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness. Brothers and sisters, let us bear witness of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim salvation in his name and in no other. Let us be faithful to our Lord. And let us do so not of our own strength, not of our own wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit, to show forth the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power in this world in which we live. Let's pray.